We turn in sacred scripture to Ephesians chapter 6. A reminder of the outline of the book of Ephesians. Remember, we studied Ephesians chapter 1, Paul emphasizing who the people were in Jesus Christ, blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. That's the first half of the book. Then in the second half, he says, therefore, live out of that reality. And in chapter 6, he gives instruction concerning children and fathers and servants and masters. Let's pick it up at verse 10. Ephesians 6, verse 10, a word to everyone. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. So far we read God's holy word. The text this afternoon is verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Christian life is a life of spiritual warfare. The Christian is one who has been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. He is one who has been made a new creature in Jesus Christ, imparted with the spiritual life of Jesus Christ, and Jesus has claimed him for his own. And now, as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, the Christian is called to fight on behalf of that kingdom and the king of that kingdom, Jesus Christ. This battle in which the Christian must fight is a spiritual battle against spiritual enemies. The devil, the wicked world, and our old sinful nature. For this warfare, the Christian is given armor, spiritual armor. And to be successful in the battle, to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the Christian is called to put on this armor and use it. Over the last year and a half, we have been making our way through those different pieces of armor periodically, as they are described in Ephesians chapter 6. There have been six pieces of equipment that we have looked at. And let's, because this is the last sermon in this series, let's do a little bit of a review. First, remember there was the belt of truth. Gird your loins with truth. The belt of truth, the revealed word of God, the Bible. Our calling as soldiers is to put on the belt of truth. To know the truth of God's word, to love the truth of God's word, to believe it, to confess it, and to live in the truth of God's word. God's word is the foundational piece of equipment. Second, right alongside with it, there is the breastplate of righteousness. Remember, that breastplate of righteousness is the righteousness of Christ. The righteousness of Christ, first of all, as the imputed righteousness of Christ, the righteousness which he obtained for us through his perfect life and his atoning death. We must, by faith, always cling to the merits of Jesus Christ alone and his righteousness as our righteous standing before God. That's a vital piece of armor that protects our hearts and that protects our emotions, our loins. And then second of all, the breastplate of righteousness is also, we can understand it to be the imparted righteousness of Christ. Walking in righteousness, putting away sin from us, keeping our garments unspotted from the world. Third, there was what we looked at, the sandals of readiness. Or as verse 15 puts it, our feet shod, fastened with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Or simpler, remember, having our sandals fastened with the readiness that comes from knowing the gospel of peace. Knowing the good news that we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. And the idea is, knowing we have peace with God, we will be sure-footed in the battle. And we are ready to go where our captain directs us to go, because we have peace with God. Fourth, there was the shield of faith. And the shield of faith is the constant or conscious activity of holding God's word for truth and being confidently persuaded that its promises are for me personally. God will be with me. God will be faithful to his people. That's the shield of faith. And by using that shield of faith, we are able to quench the fiery darts of the devil and the wicked. Fifth, there was the helmet of salvation, or remember, as we explained it, the helmet of hope. The helmet of the hope of future glory. That's what the apostle has in mind. The hope of eternal glory. That's the helmet we must put on. The helmet that will protect us against the attacks of the wicked and give us courage to fight in the midst of the battle. Because I know after this life, I will be received up into glory. That's my helmet. And then sixth, there was the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which is a reference to the Bible, and which is a reference especially to the spoken word. The idea is to the spoken Word of God. The Word of God as it comes to us in the preaching, and the Word of God as we use it in our conversations and communications with others. We must take God's word and use it not only as a belt, but use it as a sword, our only offensive weapon. Those are the six pieces of armor that we have looked at, that the Christian is called to put on. This afternoon, we come to the last verse in Paul's description of the Christian soldier. And we come now to the verse that speaks about prayer. One thing we need to point out right away is that grammatically, verse 18 is a little different than the verses that have come before it. In fact, the whole verse stands as somewhat unique compared to the other verses. Because notice that as Paul begins speaking about prayer, he drops the whole figure of Christian armor. He doesn't speak of prayer as a piece of armor that the soldier must put on. He just talks very plainly about prayer. And then notice the grammar. Notice how verse 18 begins, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. What we should notice, what we should understand, is that verse 18 cannot stand on its own as its own sentence. It's actually a participial phrase that's modifying a verb, the main verb of the sentence that comes back, that comes already in verse 14. grammatically, verse 18 goes all the way back to verse 14 and to the word stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and then all the rest, and then verse 18, stand, praying always with all prayer and supplication. So what Paul is actually teaching us in verse 18 is this. While you are putting on all these other pieces of equipment, while you're doing all these other things, be praying. Put on the belt of truth prayerfully. Put on the breastplate of righteousness and pray as you do so. Put on all the armor, wear the armor, and use the armor prayerfully. So prayer itself is not another piece of armor. Rather, prayer is what characterizes the soldier as he puts on all the pieces of equipment. Prayer, we could say, is that which holds all the pieces of equipment together. Or it's through prayer that we are equipped to wear and use the armor effectively. All the spiritual equipment in the world is useless without prayer, because it is prayer as an exercise of faith that actually connects us to the mighty strength of the Lord. God answers prayer, and through answering prayer, God brings his indispensable aid to the armed soldier, so that the Christian soldier is strong in his armor and in the power of God's might. Apart from prayer, we won't be able to use the armor or handle it properly. Clearly, all of this emphasizes the importance of prayer. The fact that it is mentioned last in this description also reiterates that point. In the spiritual battle in which the Christian must fight, he must be characterized by prayer. He might have God's entire word memorized. He might be able to write an entire book on justification by faith alone, but if he is not characterized by prayer, he's vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy. Stand in the battle, praying. That's God's word to us this afternoon. We are Christian soldiers, and as Christian soldiers, our lives and our warfare itself must be characterized by prayer. We take as our theme the Christian soldier's devotion to prayer. We'll look at that theme under 3 points. First, we look at the activity. Second, the urgency. And then third, the confidence. The Christian soldier is one who prays as he fights. That's really the posture he takes. He fights praying. That's how verse 18 begins. Praying is the Christian's activity of speaking to God. Praying is the Christian's activity of fellowshipping with his God. Prayer is but the natural expression of trust in God and of humility before God. A true child of God is one who trusts in the power, wisdom, and mercy of God, and such trust naturally expresses itself in prayer. True prayer is nothing else but the expression of faith. True Christian prayer is the faith and reliance of the soul breathed forth into words. And the Christian, as a soldier, loves to stay in communication with his commander-in-chief. And he recognizes that in his work as a soldier, he's under the authority of his commander-in-chief. And the Christian then, as a soldier, realizes full well that even as he fights on the battlefield, the battle is the Lord's, and he needs to rely upon the Lord for the victory and ask the Lord for the victory. And that reliance upon God, and that love for God, and that desire for God, and that desire to please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier, comes to expression in prayer. Now at the beginning of verse 18, the apostle writes that we are to pray with all prayer and supplication. Notice the apostle uses two different words there for prayer. The first word, prayer, is the general word for prayer. And what the apostle is saying is this: pray with every form of prayer. Pray with every form of devotional speech to the Lord, whether it be prayers of praise, whether it be prayers of thanksgiving, whether it be prayers of confession of sin. Pray with all prayer. whether it be private prayers in your closet, whether it be family prayers, whether it be prayers made as husbands and wives, or prayers made at informal gatherings when you're having coffee with fellow saints, pray with all prayer. And then he says, and supplication. And the second word for prayer, that word supplication, indicates that Paul has in mind a specific kind of prayer especially. The word supplication means to beg or to plead or to beseech. It refers to prayers in which we are asking God for something. We plead with God to give us something. And especially as Christian soldiers, there are many supplications that we should be making to God. Help me, Lord. Strengthen me in this moment. Lead me and guide me. That's a supplication. Strengthen me so that I say no to this impure thought and this temptation to put it away from me. Help me to put away this bitter spirit. Grant me wisdom to choose the way that thou wouldst have me to go. Give me the grace to know what to do. Give me the right words to speak. Give me patience so that I don't act rashly. Give me a heart truly characterized by honesty and truth and love. Help my brother. Help my sister in his battle or her battle against sin. Destroy the works of the devil and all violence which would exalt itself against thee. Open the eyes of the blind, Lord. Help them to see. Preserve my loved one from deception and the wiles of the devil. All kinds of supplications. And considering that the apostle is talking here about the Christian soldier, it's not surprising that he would emphasize that word supplication. We need to make supplications. Apart from God's grace and spirit, we cannot stand a moment in the battle against sin. And God gives his grace and Holy Spirit to those only who with sincere desires continually ask them of him and are thankful for them. Make your supplications for grace and the Holy Spirit. You need to. Then the apostle adds, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. The Christian soldier must utter these petitions in the Spirit. And what that means in a general sort of way is this. We must pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. We must pray as those who are influenced and governed by the Holy Spirit. We must not attempt to pray out of the flesh. You can't pray out of the flesh. And yet, the very real temptation, especially when you're in the heat of the battle, as a soldier, is to want to pray out of the flesh. The temptation is to be wrapped up in merely fleshly matters and to make supplications that arise out of the flesh. Because the fact is, as you fight in the spiritual warfare, our flesh and our earthly lives are touched in so many profound ways. And yet what we need to remember is that our warfare as Christian soldiers is a spiritual warfare. We fight not against flesh and blood. Our warfare is against spiritual wickedness in high places. And for that reason, it is important to hear this instruction to pray in the Spirit. No wonder the apostle writes it this way. Because the temptation you will face as soldiers is to try to pray more and more according to the flesh. No, don't just be concerned about the human relationships that are broken or damaged by sin. Focus on the spiritual realities, the spiritual dangers, the spiritual consequences. Pray, make your supplications in the Spirit. So now what does it mean more specifically to pray in the Spirit? Well, first of all, it means we pray as soldiers of Jesus Christ, not our own. We pray as soldiers under Jesus Christ. It means to pray for Jesus' sake, for his glory, and also because of him and out of him. It means we pray in the Spirit of Jesus Christ, because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. It means we pray in the awareness that apart from Jesus Christ, we are nothing. We have no access to God. We have no hope. Jesus is the captain of our salvation. Jesus, in his perfect life and atoning death, is the soldier's only way to God and God's blessing. My only hope and confidence is in him. That's always how the Holy Spirit leads God's people in prayer, in true prayer. And so that's first what it means to pray in the Spirit. Second of all, it means Since you're praying as soldiers of Jesus Christ, you pray according to the instructions of his word. You pray as Jesus taught you to pray. You pray out of faith with the kinds of expectations that Jesus has taught you to have. On the one hand, we don't pray with a greedy spirit, or we don't pray out of greediness or a desire for revenge. But on the other hand, when we pray in Jesus' name and we pray for the grace, for grace and for the Holy Spirit, we also pray in the confidence that in Jesus Christ, God will give me what I ask of him. I pray with confidence. That's what it means to pray in the Spirit. And then third of all, to pray in the Spirit means to pray from the heart. Don't just pray thoughtless, rote prayers. How easy that can be. We start off another day. We're about to walk onto the battlefield once again. And perhaps we start out by making a rote prayer that we're not even giving any thought to. No, that's not how to pray. Pray as one who is actively engaged in prayer. It might be the same prayer you're making every morning. It probably will be. But if you're truly going to be engaged in the battlefield, it starts with being engaged in true Spirit-led prayer. Be engaged in it. Pray in the Spirit. So far in this sermon, we've looked at the activity of praying, fellowship with God. We've looked at the words Paul has used, especially that word supplication. And we've looked at the activity of praying in the Spirit. And now, still in this first point of the sermon, we want to look at one more aspect of this activity of praying. And that's this: we must watch thereunto, Paul says. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto. What that means is this: in order to pray, you watch. You watch with a view to prayer. Think of a watchman who's standing on the walls of a city, looking out towards the horizon, and he's watching. He's watching carefully, keeping an eye on the first signs of the approach of the enemy, or keeping an eye on the preparations that the enemy might be making. So that's what we do. We watch, look at things happening around us in order that we might know what to pray for. We watch thereunto. We watch so that we know what kind of supplications we should be making. It also means this: we watch, we keep a close watch on things so that we're not hindered in our prayer lives. We watch in the sense that we guard ourselves from a prayerless life. We keep ourselves from distractions. We're watching out for distractions that might hinder us from praying always with all prayer and supplication. So we watch in order to protect the activity of praying, and we watch so that we might know the content of what we should be praying for. Literally, the word watching means to stay awake, to lose sleep. That's what the apostle has in mind. Stay awake, lose sleep to the end that you might pray. To be honest, congregation, I don't know how good we are at doing this kind of thing. Especially when I look at myself. I think the tendency might be to fall asleep exactly when we are praying, so that we don't pray like we ought. We don't spend that time in prayer. The apostle is telling us here to do the exact opposite. Isn't this exactly what happened to the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane? What did Jesus say to them? In fact, what did Jesus say very specifically to Simon Peter? Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest thou not watch 1 hour? I don't know if that's how he said it. Couldest thou not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray. That means stay awake, lose sleep, so that you might pray, lest you fall into temptation. And we all know what happened to Peter, don't we? He fell asleep the second time. He didn't watch unto prayer. And he fell into temptation, as did the other disciples in their own way. And we struggle with this too. I think the tendency is, first of all, to be concerned just about myself and my own little life right here. I don't bother to watch anywhere else because I've got 5 minutes worth of prayer just for myself. And 5 minutes worth of prayer, well, is enough, isn't it? And then second of all, I think the tendency is to only begin praying about things at the point when they're staring us right in the face. And we realize, yes, this is maybe what I should have been praying for all the time. And here's the point the apostle is making. Is that how a soldier behaves himself? No. A soldier is one who studies the enemy. Even in sports. Sports stars study their opponents. A soldier is also one who studies his comrades. I'm watching my comrades in love, noticing their strengths, noticing their needs. And a soldier is also one who studies himself. A soldier is one who takes out his sword and cleans it at the end of the day's battle, or maybe if you have a gun, he opens up his revolver and makes sure every speck of dust is out of that revolver so that he's ready. It's nice and clean, ready to go. That's how the soldier behaves. When is the devil most likely to attack? Where's your spiritual weak point? Maybe where's your besetting sin? Is it when you are frustrated with someone? Maybe it's when you're tired and lacking sleep. Maybe it's when you're bored, you've got idle hands, and you're looking for something to do. Watch yourself to the end that you might pray, to the end that you might make the kinds of supplications that you need to make, asking God for help and strength. Maybe when you're sitting in church and you're watching other people walk into church and find their seat, maybe that's a good time not just to watch them, how they are dressed or what they're wearing, but to watch them with a view to praying for them. That's what the apostle has in mind. Watch thereunto. Our lives are often so busy that not only do we say that we struggle to find time to pray, but our lives are so busy we say that we often neglect to concern ourselves even with the act of watching. And really, I think the two go together. How do I know what to pray for if I'm not watching? Maybe that's the connection. We struggle with our prayer lives so often because we don't know what to pray for, maybe, because we haven't been watching. I don't know what's going on with other people. I don't even know what's going on with myself sometimes because I haven't been tuned in. Paul says, watch with a view to prayer. That's how the Christian soldier behaves. That's the activity the apostle has in mind. It's the activity of being devoted to prayer. And the word perseverance in the text, we'll treat that in a moment. The word perseverance means being devoted to something. That's why the theme is what it is, the Christian soldier's devotion to prayer. Beloved, are you devoted to prayer? Well, what comes out so powerfully in the text is the urgency of prayer. The Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is very urgent in his exhortation. Just read the verse again. From that point of view, noticing the urgency. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Really, the whole verse is urgent. We've already considered mostly the first half of the verse, and everything we've considered emphasizes the urgency. Just think of what we just looked at, watching thereunto. Watch with a view unto prayer. The very idea of watching for the sake of praying emphasizes the urgency. of the matter. The whole verse is filled with a sense of urgency. What I want to point out in the second point of the sermon is the use of the word all. Four different times in this one verse. Four different times the apostle says all. First of all, starting at the beginning of the verse, praying always. Always be praying. Literally, in every time. That is, on every occasion, in every season of life, at any critical juncture throughout the day, pray. Doesn't matter where you are, doesn't matter what the situation, doesn't matter the time of day, pray. Then second, praying always with all prayer and supplication. We already explained that a little bit. All kinds of prayer, all different kinds. Confessing sin, giving thanks, with joy, with sadness, bringing praise, all prayers and supplications. Pray. Then third, watching thereunto with all perseverance. Don't just watch. Don't just persevere in watching, but persevere in watching with all perseverance. The word perseverance means to continue, to attend continuously, to be devoted or attended or attentive to something. Be devoted to watching with all devotion. Why? So that you might pray. The Holy Spirit says, persevere with all perseverance to stay awake, stay alert, with a view to praying. Don't give up praying. Don't be discouraged. But as a Christian in the battlefield, let this be the one thing you persevere in with all perseverance. Pray. That emphasizes the urgency of the matter. I have to take up all the armor, but I have to persevere, watching thereunto with all perseverance, watching that I might pray. And then fourth, and supplication for all saints, for all God's people, for all your fellow soldiers on the battlefield. Don't just pray for them, but notice the word again. Make supplication for them. Think of soldiers. Soldiers can become fiercely devoted to one another, can't they? They're not going to leave any man behind. They stand together as a band of brothers, and they're fighting for each other. That's what ought to characterize the soldiers of Jesus Christ. Of course, what Satan would have us do is leave a man behind. What Satan would even have is to have the soldiers of Christ even fighting amongst themselves. How devastating. And what does the Holy Spirit say? Pray. Pray for all saints. Pray, beloved. I want to communicate that urgency now in the preaching. Pray, beloved. You know that family that has recently gone to the funeral home? Pray for them. Keep praying for them still. You know that family that has trouble in their extended family? Pray for them. Pray for them still. You know that person who's been tempted by Satan or tempted by others to compromise their faith and their confession? Pray for them. You know that young person who is lonely? Who is sad, maybe seems a bit off. Pray for them. Pray. You know the parents dealing with a difficult child. Pray for them. You know that woman who is married to an unbeliever. Pray for her. You know those children who always seem to be fighting with each other. And maybe you even sense that there's something funny going on in their home life. Pray. You know that fellow Christian at work or in the neighboring church that's going through a difficult time? Oh, talk about them. when you have coffee. But don't just talk for the sake of talking. Talk that you might watch, look out for each other, and pray for each other. You know that young person or young adult who doesn't seem to have much direction in life? And he's praying that God might give him direction. Pray for him. Do you know persecuted saints in other countries? Maybe we need to watch better in that regard, to know what's going on in the church universal a little better, so that we can pray for them intelligently. You know that married couple that will probably never be able to have children? That single member who prays every day that God would give them a spouse? That widow, that widower, pray for them. You know that new family in church that, yes, has the church as their family, but they don't have any blood connection in the church? Pray for them. You know those council members or consistory members facing a difficult task? Pray for them. We're all on the same battlefield, congregation. We're all fighting the same warfare. It's all the same enemy. We're all fellow soldiers and comrades. We're all saints, purchased with the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We're all called to fight. We're all called to take on the posture of prayer in the fight. In the text, the Holy Spirit is exhorting us, pray for each other. Yes, put on the belt of truth. Yes, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Put on those shoes of readiness. Know your own relationship with the Lord. Take up the shield of faith. Put on the helmet of hope. Take the sword of the Spirit. But what you must do, all the while, is be praying and watch thereunto. The saints of old, the heroes of faith, had their appointed times during the day, morning, noon, and evening, or evening, morning, and noon. They started their day at night, in the evening, I'm praying. Then in the morning, halfway through the day, at the beginning of sunrise, pray. Noontime, pray. Think of Daniel praying. Make sure to have your appointed times throughout the day to fold your hands, close your eyes, and bow your heads, and utter words through your mouth to God. I've always been struck by that. More and more. I grew up, and this was my own thinking, that this is just habit. This is just what you do. Bless this food and drink. And what I'm going to say is obvious, but I want it to be impressed upon us. Those moments before mealtime or after mealtime, it's not just to say that same standard prayer. It's so that you remember to have those appointed times in the day to be praying. So that it's not just that half-minute prayer saying what I can so easily say without thinking, but it's, okay, yes, I'm called to pray always with all prayer and supplication. This is how we do it. This is how the soldier orders his life. He has his routine, his structure. He makes his bed in the morning. He has his clothes neatly set out. The soldier's life is very strict. And the Christian soldier has his appointed times to keep his life the way it ought to be as a soldier, because he wants to please the one who has called him to be a soldier. So make sure to have those appointed times, but then also this, live your whole lives before the face of God. Live your whole life with a prayerful spirit. Rely on God, confide in him. Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your hearts before him. Bring your supplications to him and persevere in doing so. That's the instruction of the passage. That's finally, my brethren, last word, persevere in doing this. That's the urgency of the matter. Well, that leads us, we have to consider one more thing, the confidence. The question we need to ask, well, where is our confidence? And as we emphasize the urgency, we must understand, we must not make the mistake of thinking that our confidence is in our prayers themselves. Our strength, our power is not in our activity of praying itself. That's not the point. The point is this. My confidence is in God. And I go to God in prayer. And it's God who hears my prayers. My confidence is not in how well I can wield the sword. My confidence is not in how tightly I can strap this belt around my waist. My confidence is not in how eloquent I can make my prayers, even standing on the corner so that other people can hear them. My confidence is in God, His grace, His strength, His wisdom, His promises, His provision. That's why my posture is one of prayer. Just look at Paul himself. He gives himself as an example in the verses that follow, verses 19 and 20. Paul knew the scriptures. Paul had bold speech. Paul was an apostle. He had the authority of Jesus Christ. He knew when he was writing Ephesians that it was by inspiration. But what does Paul ask the saints at Ephesus to do? He says, pray for me. His confidence is in the Lord, not in himself. And it's that confidence in the Lord that moves Paul to ask for prayers, because God hears prayers. God grants prayers. Beloved, we like to emphasize that our boast is in the Lord. You hear that a lot. My boast is in the Lord. Salvation is all of Him, and through Him, and to Him. Is that a boast that's coming from my heart? Or is that just something I'm saying because I know it's the right thing to say? What does my prayer life look like? That shows me where my boast is found. Does my prayer life reflect that fact that my boast is in the Lord? Our confidence is in God and in Jesus Christ. Jesus is my strength in the battle. His grace is what I need. Indeed, Jesus is the one who has already obtained the victory over the enemy. The outcome of the battle is already determined by the victory of Jesus Christ, which He accomplished on the cross. In addition, as we've seen in previous sermons, Jesus Christ Himself is the armor of the Christian. To put on the armor is to put on Christ. That's the activity of putting on Christ. All our confidence is in Christ. And it's through prayer, as an exercise of faith, that we beseech the Lord God for more of Christ. More of truth. More of holding Christ's righteousness as my own. More of enjoying that peace with God. More of that hope of glory. More of that confidence in God's promises. More of being able to handle the scriptures properly for the glory of my Savior. And in the way of prayer, God is pleased to give us more of Christ. And out of Christ and in His strength, wearing and using His armor, we are able to stand and fight in the battle of faith. So yes, beloved, we fight a formidable enemy. But remember, in Christ we are more than conquerors. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. Take the armor of God, praying. Take it up, praying, always, with all prayer and supplication, and be alert. Stay awake with a view to praying and enjoy the honor and privilege and glory of fighting the good fight of faith in the strength of Jesus Christ. Having come from the Lord's Supper this morning, refreshed in your spiritual life, now the exhortation comes, take up the armor, be constant in prayer, and fight the good fight of faith for the glory of your Savior, your Holy One, your Creator and Redeemer, the Captain of your salvation. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, our Father, we do love the gift of prayer. We confess we do not cherish it as we ought. We thank thee that thou art merciful. And this exhortation is not an admonition given to us in thy wrath, but an exhortation given us in love. As the God who has promised to hear us and answer us when we call upon thee. Lord, we thank thee for these admonitions. We need to hear them. We thank thee for the sure confidence we have in thee and in thy Son, Jesus Christ. Use this preaching for our good, strengthen and encourage us by it, and may we enjoy that unspeakable gift of prayer. And may we experience how thou dost answer us and help us in the battle as we call upon thee. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.